Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by Curry, the real live robot with a great personality. Curry is available for pre-order now at HeyCurry.com. That's HeyCurry.com. And by Hover. Finding the perfect domain name is incredibly easy with Hover. Go to hover.com and use the promo code NSS at checkout to save 10% on your first purchase.
The trendsetters of CES. Power your electronics with clothing. Edit videos like a pro. Live from Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new screensavers.
Show the new year, episode 86 for January 7th, 2017. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Alex Wilhelm.
Wow!
I'm back!
Nice to see you again.
They actually let me back in, which I'm still kind of surprised about, but I'm feeling good, man.
The king of carbs.
King of carbs. Carb
now,
king.
What was the story on that? For a while on your Instagram, everything was hashtag carbs.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Owen Thomas is a Gawker, former Gawker writer, and he fitness shames me on Twitter constantly. And whenever I eat carbs, he'd be like, carbs, carbs,
you
carbs.
You look great.
Thank you, sir.
He's a little tubby. He should not be fat shaming.
I can't comment on the prior comment, but I can say the carbs meme is now dead because Ryan Lawler, our friend, killed it by saying it wasn't funny. So it's
I
over,
thought it was
guys.
Hysterical because you were naming everything carbs.
Yes, you would be
hashtag
two
carbs.
Carbs. Exactly, carbs.
This body, this is the as Sophia Loren once said, this is a body that pasta built.
Yes.
So, although it, for some reason, it worked better on her.
There's actually a lot of really good Italian places here in Petaluma that I have sampled the
very
cuisine
good.
At, and
yes.
There's a lot of good pasta. So, if
very,
you like food,
very good.
This is the place to be.
That's great to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
You're always welcome here. You're not in Vegas. One of the reasons you're here is we couldn't get anybody else.
Yes, I'm actually the last resort guest host. I know, I'm
no,
fine with
not
this.
True.
Just understand your place in the world and hang out there all the time.
It's not true. But a lot of people, Vegas, I guess CES is continuing for one more day in Vegas.
Yes, yes.
And then everybody will be coming back sick, tired.
Hungover and poor.
Yeah. And why? And for what reason?
I can tell you that. Here's what you should not do in Vegas for CES. Arrive. Drink heavily with your team. Go to the casino. Gamble till 4 a.m. Start work the next day at 8.
And you know this how?
Because I've done it. And so the problem with CES is all your friends fly in from around the United States. And so if you're a journalist, you have friends in New York, you have friends in Boston.
Yeah.
Everyone's there. And so everyone goes, well, what are we going to do in Vegas when all of our friends are together? You go a little crazy.
You party.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's dry and tough and you have to work a lot. So it's, you know.
And you do have to work a lot. And it's very hard to get around the logistics of Vegas during a big trade show. Are nightmarish because you can't get anywhere.
The taxi lines go for days,
yeah.
You know, and there's just everything's more expensive and booked, and there's private parties everywhere. You can't really get around. It's pretty much miserable. So we're not there, and I'm fine with
yeah.
that. I
yeah.
don't. I don't.
I
miss
do
it.
Miss. I have to agree with you. I do miss that. Is the one time a year that everybody's in town,
yeah.
and you can have fun, see all your colleagues, friends, and the way this business works. A lot of times you work in different places, so you don't get to see them.
Nearly always. I mean, people like Vox. Put together large trailers, or they have like whole blocks of hotel rooms done. So it's a really good team building thing, but it's also exhausting. But you and I will not be sick next week
no.
in bed with
we feel great.
CES SARS.
Right. So here's the question. Why does CES exist? And in fact, it's getting bigger. Comdex went out of business.
Thank heavens.
Which was the Computer Dealers Expo, where computer dealers would come and see wares from companies. CES has been around even longer than Comdex, and it's where it used to be anyway. Electronics stores would come to meet manufacturers
yes.
and see what they were going to carry this year, but there aren't any electronics stores anymore.
Well, no, that's only mostly true. So if you keep in mind that CES is two things. It's the thing we see in the news, which you and I would attend
The media event.
Right. And then there's all the backroom deals.
Right.
So a lot of companies don't send their executives onto the stage.
Crazy.
They actually do a lot of deals in the back rooms at these large hotels for the year. So it also brings together the executives that are also disparately located around the world.
This was a good CES. Occasionally you'll get years where it's iPhone accessories and stuff no one cares about.
Yes.
There have been enough. There's Ron Swanson.
Hey.
There have been enough.
That's some Engadget.
There have been enough, I think, new innovative products this year to make it worth going. A couple of things I noted, and I'd like to know what you have been writing about, but it seemed like Amazon's voice services are everywhere.
Yes.
Echo. In cars, in refrigerators, in homes. Lenovo's even building something looks just like an Echo, but with Amazon voice services inside.
I wonder where they got the idea.
Well, they're licensing it. Now, I wonder, and I don't know if there's anybody in the studio audience that could tell us, but I wonder if Amazon is charging anything for this. Because if you ask me, they should give this away. They should get as many people as possible because it's among everything else Echo's useful for. It's a great way to buy stuff on Amazon.
It is. And importantly, over the holidays, I was with my brother's family. He's got little kids, and they have an Alexa now in their house. And Maddie, who's...
We don't use the A word. That's my new motto, by the way.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We call him Echo. No more using the A word on the air.
He has a dot that's part of the Echo family that
right.
runs the Alexa service.
There you go. Okay.
Anyways...
Oh, he said it again! Now we have to bloop you.
What did I do?
You know why people wake up? Their echoes
you weren't kidding.
No.
Oh, I thought that was a joke. I missed it.
Increasingly,
sorry.
Broadcasting can't use the A word, the S word, and the G word because any of those might trigger an eruption. In fact, an eruption.
How about
in San Diego?
Alexa, Siri, Google. We can kind of just throw them all together.
In San Diego, there's a little heat, Channel 6, CW6 down there,
all right.
was doing a story. The story is actually an interesting story by of itself. It's about a six-year-old who figured out how to, or maybe she didn't even figure out, she somehow ordered a dollhouse on her mom and dad's Echo. The reason is she was, in fact, they have the recordings. You know, if you go to the app, you can hear the recordings. She was saying things like, play with me.
In a dollhouse.
And ended up, $169 dollhouse arrived at the house and 4 pounds of sugar cookies.
Yes. So this kid is brilliant. They did their own Christmas on their own not dime. It's like, hey, mom and dad, thanks for the money. I'm buying my own stuff.
But then this channel
showed up at the house. Showed up at the house.
This is the Channel 6 report. Actually, this is a CNN report. But the Channel 6 reporter at the end of the segment says, I wish I could get A to order me a dollhouse. And people all over San Diego called the station to complain because they had been... suddenly dollhouses have been ordered.
Yes. So if you're not nice to us in the chat room, we will tell your A to buy you embarrassing things, and you will then have to deal with it on your own. So be polite.
I do want to call BS on this a little bit, though.
Sure.
Because now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that there is a 4-digit code you have to also give out to get the purchase to go through. And that's on by default. Now, parents could presumably
have that turned off.
That's
dangerous. That's your safety off your gun.
Leave it on if you've got. And I think it's on by default.
Turn it back on.
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you my code.
It's actually 1111. Also, his debit card PIN number.
What else at CES? Dick DiBartolo, the Gizwiz, was telling me that traditionally the South Hall has about half car stuff.
Yes.
It was 95% car stuff this year.
I think that's because we're seeing the larger push towards autonomous driving and also making cars more connected.
Connected
and so
cars.
Those two things together demand a lot more space because they're distinct. I mean, self-driving cars will be connected, but they're not quite the exact same substance. But I'm pretty encouraged by it. I think this is the right thing to be doing now with the technology we have to improve driving and save lives.
NVIDIA announced a partnership with Mercedes for a self-driving car. That's not it. That's a concept car. They say they're going to have it to market next year.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I believe that. I mean, they said cool things. They said NVIDIA, AI, Mercedes, car, 12 months. That'll get you headlines. But reading through the coverage, this is actually the TechCrunch piece that I read before we went on air. I don't know if I actually buy that it's going to come out in time.
Yeah.
I hope so. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a hater. I'm
even if it does, there's all these regulatory issues as well. I mean, I have a so-called semi-autonomous, level one autonomy Tesla, which I'm allowed to use as long as I keep my hands on the wheel.
So it's totally useful. You don't have to do this very much.
Right. But, you do. Every once in a while, you have to go, And then otherwise, it will stop. It'll
Can you
say,
like, punish the computer whenever it's bad?
I wish I could. Yeah. Actually, I have to see, because Elon pushed out an update to the Tesla about a week ago. We tried it, and it didn't work. That you type in a secret code, holiday, on your Tesla, and it will, and then get out and lock the car, and it will open the doors, the lights will flash, and it'll play a Mannheim Steamroller Christmas song.
How does it go? Can you sing it for us?
It's like this. La, 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 la. I can't get mine to do that, but...
So you're not car competent?
Do you have the audio on that? Can you hear the... It actually does a light show.
This is proof that there's too many nerds in Silicon Valley and not enough adults and editors telling them, no, you're not going to spend 4 months making the card into a light show. We lose too much money. But I will say, Elon's got style. I mean,
isn't this funny? I can't get mine to do that.
Gonna,
you know what? After the show, look, come outside with me and we'll see if we can get to work.
Wait, do you have a Model X?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, so you got the dad minivan.
Yeah, the dad minivan.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
Hey, it's got doors that go like that, man.
As opposed to like this? There's a Silicon Valley reference like here. If you haven't seen the joke, enjoy yourself.
Anyway, you know what it tells me? They have way too much storage in that thing that they could upload a Mannheim steamroller.
That's got to be like 10 megs. It's like an MP3 and some up-down arrows.
Yeah. What else? Anything else at CES that we should pay attention to?
I was amazed by how boring all the televisions were.
Yeah.
The only thing that was new was the inclusion of Amazon, and there were some 8K displays. But really, I was hoping to be wooed into buying something new for myself. And going through the news coverage, I was just pretty let down.
By the way, so were Sony, LG, and Samsung hoping to woo you into buying a new TV. That's
it's,
the problem,
It's not
right?
my fault that I'm picky. It's my fault
nobody's
for not being more awesome.
Everybody's, and as they should, saying, I like my TV. I don't need a new TV.
Yeah.
There is one TV, Scott was telling me, and I don't remember the manufacturer, that's 4 millimeters thick. You actually has magnets. You hang it on the wall. I mean, that's the best they can do. It's gimmicky stuff like that.
But that's cool, though, because that shows me in 5 years, I'll be able to buy, like, a laminate sheet that'll be a television as well. And that's awesome.
That's OLED, by the way.
I don't mind seeing things that will exist later today, but I also look at things that are available for purchase today and kind of put them in different categories.
It was at LG. And then Sony has one that there it is, the 2.5 millimeters.
All right, that's, you got to give them points for that. That's really impressive.
And I think that's going to be available sometime this year, although you never know with CES.
That'll only cost $28,000 per inch. Totally reasonable. Yeah.
Sony has a TV that the speaker is the TV.
Excuse me? I don't understand those words.
You know, we've probably seen those induction speakers that you put on a piece of glass, and it makes the glass a speaker. Apparently, they're using the glass on the front of the TV and moving it with some sort of induction, and the screen vibrates. It's not apparent, but it will make the sound, and that's for the center channel. You still need, obviously, a subwoofer, and if you want surround, you'll have to do something
else. If you play dubstep on your TV that's also a speaker, will it just shatter? Like Skrillex plus
here comes
TV
the bass.
Equals-
Boom!
Like, never drop the bass if that's your television. And that does get your LG.
I think that we are still LED and OLED as being... There's no new magic technology coming. Although Scott was telling me about a modular TV set that can be built to be as big as you want. You just snap together the pieces. And that solves the problem of the 80-inch TV that you can't get through the door.
Oh, okay.
That's very expensive.
Guys, if you can't fit the TV through the door, it's too big for your apartment.
I don't think it's apartments we're talking about.
Good point. Here in SF, though, you never know.
You never know. Here's just a couple other big stories. Samsung announced that they're going to have fourth quarter profit that is the highest in 3 years.
Yeah.
What?
It's actually pretty amazing.
Didn't they have to take $1 billion or more write-off over the Note 7?
$2.1 billion write-off for the
and
Note 7.
Still made more money.
$7.8 billion.
Holy cow. But that's not just mobile. They make a lot of other
things. That's an aggregate corporate profit.
Okay.
But the point is the Note 7 is not going to harm them, and the Note 8 should do very well. I'm actually shocked by this. I thought it was going to be a much, much worse situation. So it proves what I know, really.
You know, I thought it would be cool. Let's abandon the Note brand. I think the Note 7 was the best phone of the year, except for that minor blowing up thing.
The minor explosive.
But it was a great phone, and I look forward to Note 8. But don't use the Note name tarnished. I think they should just embrace... Take the bull by the horns and call it like the Fire Phone.
Oh, no, I got it. How about, how about Zune? It'll be huge.
Or, you know, the Boom Phone. Something that says, you know, we get it, but this one isn't going to blow up.
Then don't call it the Boom Phone, because what if it does blow up? Then that's going to be the worst PR
really
fiasco.
Bad.
Yeah,
they'll get sued for that.
For sure.
All right, so the other thing that happened is, and I think this is actually quite fascinating, is... Google,
yes.
Apple, a number of companies have created products they can't make fast enough.
Yes.
And the AirPods are one of them. If you go online to the Apple site now to order Apple's new wireless Bluetooth headphones, February 28th.
Yes.
6 months out. Six weeks out. This is it. These are the AirPods. I got mine. I ordered them as soon as they went available. And they said January 12th, but I got them right before the end of the year. So they qualify as a 2016 product. I kind of like these.
Yeah?
So the idea is these are Bluetooth using that new W1 chip. I'll show you. Before that, let me just show you what happens. You don't have to pair them to your iPhone. You turn on Bluetooth on your iPhone, and you open the box, and all of a sudden it recognizes.
Okay, that's slick. That's
cool.
Slick. And you got both battery things? Okay.
Yeah, so the container, the dental floss container, is a battery. That has about 5 charges.
Do you actually call yourself boss?
Yeah, no, Siri calls me boss.
Okay. Oh, that's even worse.
No, it's good.
That's not good. Anyways, we'll move on.
When Siri says, "I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying," she says, "I'm sorry, boss, I don't understand what you're saying." I think that's good.
Did you just crave affirmation at all times of the day? Okay.
I used to have her call me tall, dark, and handsome. But that weren't true either. So these sound good. They are apparently the same hardware as in the wired ear pods.
Yes, which everyone knows very well.
Yeah, they're not super great. I think a couple of little issues. One is this one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So it's fine on my ear. Why don't you put them in, see if you like them.
Is this the right or the left? This is the left.
That's the left.
All right.
And you do have to check initially because it's written on the thing. But
I mean, I'm not going to lie. Products made by white male engineers tend to fit in my face. So
yeah.
This fits
my wife, though, says it's uncomfortable. She can't. So she's out of luck. She can't wear them.
I look like this. So I'm not going to say this is like Vogue.
Let me play some music. Just see what you want. You want some Skrillex?
Sure.
No, I don't have any.
Oh.
So here's Rhapsody in Blue. How about that?
Sure.
A little Gershwin.
Little Gershwin's good.
I know you like show tunes. You
That's
and
right.
Owen.
So.
Can you hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if I take one off, will it pause?
Go ahead.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. The other thing some people do is you can use just one at a time. You get 5 hours per. So if you're using podcasts, you could just use one use the other one.
Oh, I couldn't quite.
I know. Isn't that sweet?
That's so cool.
Those are the microphones, those dorky things hanging down. I would love to see a hearing aid mode where they were picking up ambient sound and pumping it into my ears. That'd be pretty cool.
Okay, so I was a hater of these before because of the whole Courage thing, but
the engineering is awesome.
That's super impressive.
Yeah.
And I just lost $170. So
you're going to buy them.
There's no choice now. They're awesome.
Listen to how they click into place. There's magnets everywhere.
This
is the thing people like. When you close the lid, the light stays on. So, no, it's that nice.
That sounds so
snick.
Good.
I like that. Georgia Dow and Gizmodo said you could just put the dental floss, a Glide dental floss label on here and nobody would steal your AirPods. But the problem to me is not that people would steal them, that I would drop it and people would just throw it away thinking it was an old dental floss.
Exactly. Very much more costly than one pair of dental floss.
But Apple can't make them fast enough, and I just don't get it. Why are companies, and this seems to be happening more and more, you might know, you're an analyst.
I have an idea. It's that we're now building products that are so much harder than before.
They're hard to make.
I mean, think back to the original, like the iPhone 4 that had communication problems. These were delayed. Maybe they're just so complex and hard to build, it takes more time now, which is great for us consumers, but not great for the corporations who are
in
charge.
6 weeks out now.
Six weeks.
Order them. However, I have to say, my initial review, and I've had them for about 4 or 5 days, I love them.
Yeah.
You probably can't technically wear them in an airplane, right? Because they're you can't put it in airplane mode.
I don't know about Bluetooth and airplanes.
I don't know.
Can you get a ruling from the field?
Can you?
We're going with yes. Please take them on and tell the TSA we said you could.
They're comfortable. They don't seal your ears.
No.
They're not noise canceling. So you will hear the baby crying in the seat behind you. You will hear Alex crying in the seat next to you. But in some ways, I don't mind that because what's good is you can keep them in all the time and to have conversations, right? And they still put the music on and things like that. So just don't think of them as isolating.
But I kind of like headphones that do take me away from the world because when I'm wearing them, I don't want you to talk to me.
So, and I still use my Edemotics. I can seal them.
Okay.
And so I don't hear anything, and the sound quality, I think, is better.
Nice.
And they're roughly the same price. But they're convenient to this. I've never seen a better Bluetooth pairing experience. By the way, since I paired it to my phone, Now the pairing is on iCloud, and I just go to my iPad or my Apple Mac, and it will have the entry for Boss's AirPods there, and I just click it, and it will pair with those. So you don't have to repair to any other device.
That's so
it's
cool.
Automatically paired to everything in the Apple
Because my Bluetooth headphones from before that I actually just lost.
What a pain.
They wouldn't, I'd restart Spotify, turn them off, turn them back on.
Terrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I love how Apple was like, okay, we'll fix that problem that no one else could fix for 7 years.
Now, let's see how they're made. And of course, as always, when there's a new product, the folks at iFixit leap into action. Kyle Weens is on the line with us. He's the co-founder of iFixit. Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
Hey, Leo, doing great.
Great to see you.
I didn't get sick at CES.
Yeah, you're not at CES.
I was there. I got back yesterday.
Just for us?
Good man.
Just for you.
You are the best. So where do you live, Kyle?
We're in San Luis Obispo.
Okay, well, that's not so far. I love SLO. Beautiful
nice
town.
Place.
So you have these. And you guys did a teardown. Tell us about it.
Okay, so this was painful. when we score devices, you know, we give them a 1 through 10 repairability score. It's really like how much did we suffer? And if we didn't suffer very much, it gets a 10. If we suffered a lot, it gets a very low score.
Now, these are small, though. I mean, have you taken a lot of little tiny things like this apart?
Right, we do. The problem is that, you know, we're very good at taking small things apart. Like we take about Rolex watches, which is smaller than this, and it's fine. But this is not designed to come apart. As a matter of fact, they basically just took the batteries and they encased them in glue, and then they wrapped that glue in plastic.
There's no screws, no fasteners, no way to tear it down. No, oh, there you are, prying it apart.
That's surprisingly gory for a gadget show.
I know.
It's aggressive. Like, the amount of goop is phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
They just load up the inside with black tar, and everything's in there. Holy cow.
It's really a struggle. So it's interesting. So there's 400 milliamp-hour battery in the case, and then you've got the AirPods. So it was really two separate teardowns for us to pull apart one of the earpieces and then to pull apart the case. It's interesting as you look at build quality on these things, particularly on the AirPods, the seam around the edge, and maybe if you take yours out and look at them and compare the two units that you have and look at the seams, it doesn't seem like their manufacturing tolerance is up to Apple standards on the outside of the case.
I have heard that. I've heard from some people that they could see the seam on one and not on the other, and I think we kind of are in
and
that
you can see them in
similar
different places. The two I've got here, one is quite a bit better than the other one.
Yeah. Do you think that's why they're having so much difficulty making these?
That's one. I mean, I would think they could. I don't think that's it. I think there are some other challenges. I think that the case is a challenge. Getting the case apart took us a long time, and we actually, I mean, we have all kinds of prying and scraping tools. We ended up cutting ourselves pretty good in the process. So we had bloody AirPod cases.
Sorry.
It's okay. We bleed, so you don't have to.
But this is mostly just magnet and battery, right? There's nothing else in there.
Pretty much, yeah. There's some weights and a bunch of magnets.
So the pairing happens not from the case. The pairing happens from the AirPods.
It seems. I mean, it talks to the. I think you're right.
Yeah. There's no buff. Is there circuitry?
There's
in
no
the
wireless.
Case?
There's no. Yeah. It's pretty much just the battery. I mean,
that is so unattractive when you take it apart.
Well, you're not supposed to. I mean, I think Apple would say
I'm allowed to state the obvious once per show.
Apple would say these are not user serviceable. These are disposable.
Right, so here's the problem is that they're disposable, but they have a icon. If you flip open your case and you look inside the top cover of the case, there's a little trash icon, a little wheelie bin trash icon with an X through it.
That means don't recycle.
That means don't throw it away. You have to recycle it.
Electronics recycle.
Send it to an electronics recycler. So I spent all day yesterday at the biggest electronics recycler in the country with one of these AirPods, showing them and saying, hey, do you guys think you can recycle this? And the answer was no.
So what you probably should do is send it to Apple. I mean, presumably Apple can recycle them.
I don't think so either. I think Apple's just punting on the issue. They have really not been doing a good job. We have – so I've got here – this is the Apple.
You know, I don't have – by the way, Kyle, I don't see that – oh, there it is. There it is.
That is really hidden.
It's really hard to see, but there it is. Yeah.
Are they usually that hidden, Kyle, these warnings about how to recycle them?
The warning is legally required in Europe, so that's why they have to have it on there. And Apple doesn't want it, and so Apple's hiding it as tiny as they possibly can.
So wait a minute. They legally require the warning, but they don't legally require that they be recyclable.
enforcing that is really a challenge. And you know, the definitions of what is recyclable. I mean, I helped work on the report. There's a report called IEC 62635, which is a recyclability analysis of consumer electronics. And the trick is defining how to separate these things. Recycling is really all about separation.
Right.
You separate the plastic from the metal from the battery. And the problem when you glue everything together is that you make it impossible to separate it out again.
Now, the other issue is that batteries don't last forever. At some point, you're going to need to replace the batteries. I guess you can't.
Right. So here's the grand question. How long is this battery going to last? For every other product Apple makes, they list the cycle count on their website. So for an iPhone, it's 400 charge cycles. For a MacBook Pro, it's 1,000 charge cycles. They're not listing the charge cycle count on these things.
Uh-oh.
That's a bad sign, yeah?
Apple's tends to be pretty public when the numbers are good.
Yep, kind of like Amazon.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if you were to guess, though, how many cycles do you think we should expect out of these first-generation AirPods?
I would guess 300 to 400, which if you know, and that's a full cycle. So if you only use it halfway, then that's half a cycle. So I would say probably 2 to 3 years for most folks.
I think that sounds
maybe
about
you say,
right,
well, yeah. I'm going to lose it in that time frame.
Yeah. Is that a fair amount of time? Is that enough cycles?
I think that's fair. I think 2 years is kind of what you expect from this kind of stuff.
Okay. But I'm confused. Were we expecting these to be serviceable devices, or are we kind of picking hairs here that are a bit too fine?
Right. So I'm sympathetic to say that, okay, maybe repairability isn't the most important thing on these, but recyclability, I think, is really critical. I was looking at the original earbuds, and they've sold over 1 billion of them. And I took the weight of the earbuds, and I multiplied it out, and it turns out they've made something like 22 million pounds of earbuds.
That's 11,000 tons?
And they're all in landfill because nobody's recycling earbuds.
I didn't know that was an option until the show.
You absolutely can recycle earbuds, and that would be the hope, is like the material input, like there's rare earth metals in these things, and mining rare earths is really environmentally destructive. So we absolutely need to be recovering every rare earth we possibly can and recycling. And I just don't see it happening with a design like this.
Well, I love, you know, when we talked with you about the MacBook Pro last time, you pointed out how unrecyclable those were as well. I love this focus because all along iFix has all been about repairability. But when you have 0 out of 10 repairability, there's nothing to talk about except can these be recycled? And it looks like that's a resounding.
So should we not buy them because they're not recyclable?
I don't think I could ethically buy this product.
Okay.
I've got my Edemotics that I'm using here. I like them a lot. I would not feel ethically comfortable using a non-recyclable product. And I think that that's something that we need to factor in. It's not just Apple. So the criticism that we got of this was of our teardown was people said, okay, that's fine. You're hating on Apple. But where are all of the other wireless headsets that you've hated on? And so we have. So I have – this is some this is a freebie Bluetooth headset that I got from Pandora. And this kind of has the same problem. So I've got a carrying case with a big battery and then these things that have integrated non-replaceable batteries. So these suck too. So it's not just Apple. Anybody that's integrating batteries and making them non-replaceable, I think has some explanation to do.
Is anyone doing this well, or is everyone kind of, to use your phrase, sucking at the same...
Well, the traditional wired headphones are great from a recyclability perspective. We're really good at recycling cables. We do it all day long. So it's really when you start gluing in batteries that you have a challenge. If you look at the wearable space, some of the wearables have replaceable batteries or easy to separate things, and some like Fitbit don't. So it just totally depends on the company.
All right.
Kyle, you do a great job. Keep up the good work and keep holding these companies' feet to the fire. I think it's important. And we need to know as consumers what we're buying. You can find out more at iFixit.com. It is also the world's repair manual, parts, repairs, for everything from iPhones to McDonald's Happy Meal toys. It's all there. And we sent out, we sent out iFixit toolkits to many of our hosts as Christmas gifts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hey, without, did you get one?
I can send you one.
He meant favorite hosts, not, you know.
And without fail, every single one who received one, some people got candy.
Didn't get that either.
Carbs. Everybody who got one was thrilled and said, oh, I've been meaning to get one of these. They were all very happy. So that was a great holiday gift for us to send out.
Awesome. Great. Well, hopefully soon we're working on our new Retina MacBook Pro repair manual. So hopefully you'll be able to use it to fix those things.
I pray.
But probably not this.
Not this. Kyle Weens, thank you so much for joining us. Founder of iFixit at iFixit.com. Coming up, we're going to talk to Z.L. Wang. He is a scientist at Georgia Tech, and he's coming up. Remember in middle school? If you wore corduroy pants and you walked like I do with your thighs rubbing, that you would generate a significant amount of static electricity?
You know, that never happened to me. shockingly enough. But, okay.
It was shocking. Well, they have invented a fabric that will let you harvest energy from not just motion, but light as well. We also have Father Robert Ballas here with his best of CES. He was down there. In fact, he's still down there.
Poor guy.
All right. Well, somebody had to go, right? But first, I want to talk a little bit about another thing that we saw at CES. It was announced this week. It's brand new. It's our sponsor for the show today from Mayfield Robotics. It's called Curry. Take a look. Curry is going to be your first robot, your cheerful plastic pal who's fun to be with. Nice height for kids. Curry is very expressive. They designed the eyes and the sounds to be friendly, not intimidating. And it's really, really cool. I think you're going to love it. You're going to love having Curry around the house. He moves around unassisted. Okay? He's autonomous. So, and he knows about stairs. He knows to avoid obstacles. He will wander around. He communicates with emotive gestures and eyes and head gestures. Now, you don't have to worry about him talking to you because he only says chirps and beeps, but they're very clear, yes and no. So he can respond, but only with yes and no. But he can also be your eyes and ears because he has cameras built in. So he will autonomously make the rounds and send you video from around the house. You can actually say to Curry on your Curry app, check to see if the dog is on the couch again. And then talk to the dog and say, get off the couch. You can see if the kids are home from school. Or if you're worried about something going on outside your door, you can have Curry go to the door. If he hears a loud noise, he'll investigate. He's got microphones and array mics that allow him to recognize the direction the sound's coming from. It's really cool. You've got a Curry app. You can see all the videos saved over the previous day and photos, too. Now, $6.99, if you want to pre-order, it's refundable right now. He won't be available until later this year, but it's $100. $100 to pre-order and then $5.99 due at time of shipment, excluding taxes and shipping. So if you, I check it out at Hey Curry, HeyKurri.com. You can pre-order if you want. A real live robot pal. These guys at Mayfield, it's really cool. I talked to them. They've been working on this for years, and they're just now showing it for the first time. HeyCurry.com. Father Robert Ballas there had a great time at CES. We've asked him to try to distill it all down to just a few minutes. Here's his report on the best of 2017's Consumer Electronics Show Watch.
Here we are at CES 2017 in Las Vegas. I'm in the South Hall right now, surrounded by some of the most incredible technology that exists in the consumer world. Now, trying to isolate trends, of course, with CES, you have to start with the TVs. We dropped by Samsung, and they told us all about the technology that they think will take them into the future.
And this year, we're introducing the QLED TV, which is based on the power of something called quantum dots. So what we're able to achieve is a 100% accuracy based on the color volume of DCI-P3, which is the widest color space that we're able to achieve in TV today.
It's pretty clear that Samsung has their hopes on quantum dot technology. And frankly, it looks wonderful. It's robust, it's rich. But we stopped by and found Scott Wilkinson, the home theater geek in the hall. And, he told us that quantum dot technology is not exactly the technology Samsung says it is.
Samsung is being a little disingenuous, in my opinion, by saying, oh, QLED is something new and special. It's not. It's basically the same thing we've seen before, which are basically just a different kind of backlight to an LCD TV. TCL is doing it. Hisense is doing it. There are quite a few people using this technology. I, in fact, just came from a meeting with Nanosys, the company that provides these quantum dots, and they were telling me about the next generation, which is going to replace the color filters. Normally, you have a white light coming through color filters on an LCD TV. They're going to replace those color filters with quantum dots themselves. Much higher efficiency, much wider color range. They say we should see actual products next year.
If there was a trend to challenge TVs, it would have to be the assistant. The assistant was everywhere, specifically Amazon's.
Search for Jennifer Lawrence.
Getting from Dish.
And boom, there she is.
Now, it's not just found in speakers and headphones, but there was a security company harkening back over 100 years that included Alexa as the next security companion.
Think about that mom walking into the house with the groceries full in her arms, right? And the timer's beeping on the countdown. Now, instead of having to race to set that down and get back to disarm your system, now you can do it with your voice. So you can say, Alexa, ask ADT to disarm the system with pin 1234. And it allows you to then securely disarm your system, unlock a door, or open the garage.
Of course, we can't complete our coverage of CES without talking about autonomous cars. They were everywhere. And not just from the Silicon Valley darlings, but from the traditional Detroit Big Three. We dropped by the Ford booth to the founder of their movement of autonomous driving, and he gave us an overview of what Ford did to make safe driving a possibility.
You need complete situational awareness, and no one sensor is without some deficiency. So we have multi-mode sensor modalities on this car. We use traditional radar systems. We use cameras. We use LiDAR. We leverage any prior information we have about the world around us. In particular, we make 3D maps of everything we drive through. So when we come back, we know what it should look like. And if it doesn't, prompts us to be a little bit more alert to what's going on. You need that sort of fidelity of lots of systems, lots of extra information to make really smart decisions.
Along with the rise of the autonomous vehicle comes the question of what we do in those cars. BMW took this question very, very seriously, and they created a connected environment that keeps a single pane of glass between the house, the car, you, and your office.
So it's all about connecting your digital life and everything that you do in your normal daily life with the vehicle and all the other touch points that you have. So, for example, your smartphone, your smartwatch. We've integrated over the past year with Amazon Alexa, so when you're in your smart home and the things that you normally use there, you can also extend to the vehicle, and more touch points as you go forward. The mobility wall is another example of a touch point. So envision anywhere you use digital services as being accessible now to the data that you have in the cloud, and of course, perfectly tuned for the vehicle as well.
There were many more trends that we saw here at CES, everything from the Internet of Things to the securing of the Internet of Things and the rise of some truly high-performance hardware. But if you want to see that, you're going to have to drop by the Twit Special at twit.tv/specials. Until then, I'm Father Robert Ballister saying goodbye from CES 2017.
I take it all back. It's just a bunch of crap.
I was excited, and I was like, we should have gone this year. And by the third spinning television,
like,
I was
crap.
Like, all right, I'm good. I'm so glad that I'm not in Vegas right now.
I was really thinking, like, but the problem is that these companies, it's buzzword Olympics. They just want to hit every checkbox, every buzzword.
That's why... that's why Echo...
I got to get that memo
I'm really... Guys, that was an accident. That's why Echo did so well, because it was integrated in so many products. People wanted to have that.
Yeah, people know how Echo works.
Yes,
they understand the value of Echo, so it's nothing new.
And if you're
it's interesting. Amazon did that, and I think it was a bit of a coup, because I didn't see Cortana everywhere. I didn't see Siri everywhere. I didn't see Hey Google everywhere. So now that we've set everybody off.
I know. That everyone's furious in this show. I think it was very smart. But I will say that all those cars looked very stupid. And I
don't they're not real products.
No.
They're not real products. This is all concept stuff.
It's like when you were in you were five, you had a cardboard box and wrote car on it. Yeah. Similar levels of doneness to this stuff you just saw. It's all vaporware, but with steel.
Hey, this is actually very exciting tech that is in the lab, but is happening right now. Joining us right now, Zhong Lin Wang. He is a Regents Professor at Georgia Tech School of Materials Science and Engineering. ZL, welcome to the new Screensavers.
It's a pleasure.
Great to have you. You have created a new kind of textile that can do what?
Let me show you what this textile looks like. And I have in my hands here, I hope you can see through the camera, this is a fabric. You can see this is a kind of fabric, but it's not the general fabric. Let me show you the first. You can take a look.
It looks kind of electronic. It almost looks like a circuit.
Yeah. You can see it's very flexible, but this is a power fabric. Let me explain to you. This fabric harvests the solar energy and mechanical body motion energy. Then the question, how does it work? Well, the way it works, have two parts. One is the solar energy. We made a fiber-based solar cell. That means that convert tiny solar energy into electricity. So the fiber basically solar cell is different from the panel, you know, the silicon panel.
Yeah.
We use, no, this is just use dye sensitized solar cells we made into the
How efficient solar. Is it as efficient as a standard solar panel?
Not quite as efficient, but I think the efficient we got is about a fifth of the normal solar panel efficiency. But what magic in this one is can harvest the body motion energy. You know, the body motion energy is kind of we normally experience every day. But if you have light, use light. If you don't have light, you can use the body motion energy. The way it works is that use this kind of concept. You can see that trouble electricity. You know, the when anybody study this kind of phenomenon, they have the every day with us. You know, when two materials in contact, they have a trouble electricity.
You
know that, right? But use the trouble electricity on the surface of the fibers to drive the electron to flow is the way we convert body motion energy into electricity.
How interesting. So it's like the old potato clock, only it's working all the time. And it's the cathode and the anode are actually in the fiber. Is that right?
Right. On the surface of the fiber. So when the two things, one go against the other one, you can generate a trouble electricity. But that's the potential. There's a potential to drive the electron to flow. So that's the way we design this generator. We call the trouble electric nano generator. Convert tiny physical motion, any kind of small motions into electricity at a reasonably high efficiency.
So I'm very curious, how much power could this generate if I was wearing, say, a shirt made out of the material? Would it be enough to power my smartphone on the go, or would it require more time?
If you get to make a size of a shirt, it's definitely can power your cell phone continuously.
Continuously. Wow. Okay, cool. So if I had this, then I could almost have like a port out of my piece of clothing and therefore keep all my stuff charged really all the time ambiently just by going around.
Yeah, I think it depends on the size of the fabric you utilize. But the key idea is that it harvests whatever you have. If you have daylight, then daytime, you have sunlight, you have the sunlight energy. In the evening, if you don't have sunlight, you have body motion, it harvests the body motion energy electricity. So this is called hybrid power cell. It utilizes whatever energy you have in the environment for this device to work.
The other thing that's very cool is you do have some storage on this. You're using supercapacitors.
Yeah.
We're interested in this supercapacitor technology. We've been really excited about it. Tell us how that works.
A supercapacitor is an idea that use electrochemical process store the energy, because the way, you know, the regular capacitor, you have two plates, you hold the charge on the top and the bottom respectively. The supercapacitor works in a way that they have electrochemical process built between the two plates, and it can be very fast charged. The charging speed is extraordinarily fast, and also can be hold extraordinarily high density of energy. So it's a new way of store energy by this electrochemical process.
Will people have battery packs on their belts, or where will the batteries be?
Because this is pretty uncomfortable just to have in my back pocket.
I know,
like it's
just a microphone, yeah.
So basically, if you make the supercapacitor, you can make it extremely small, then the people can utilize for these small electronics. You know, anything, regardless how delicate, how great it is, it must have power.
What is the material? Is it plastic?
You mean for the generator or for what?
For the fabric.
For the fabric, the materials have several kinds. We have the normal like a PTFE fiber.
Uh-huh.
We also have the dye molecule on the surface. Also have the copper. You see the color? That's the copper electrode.
So you could take a normal textile and apply the copper electrode to the textile?
We can.
Wow. That is super cool.
So this one, the trouble electric nanogenerator works the best way is that you can use any materials you wish, like my fabric, my jacket, or any of this plastic, this, you know, the cable like that. So that's why it's open a door or open a field for people to study small energy for Internet of Things.
How close are we to actually getting this kind of thing into production?
This fiber just invented about a year ago. And we're still in a lab stage. I anticipate we need 3 years at least to get this to market.
What an exciting technology.
Will it be expensive for me to actually purchase this when it comes out, or will it be relatively consumer priced from the start, do you think?
And now at a lab stage that we have run away to reduce the cost, but the cost is kind of high compared to the fabric itself because you have a lot of technology integrated. But this is very beginning stage. It's just like any technology. For example, like LED lighting at the very beginning was expensive.
Right.
But with larger scale and improved the materials and technology can become really cheap.
Now, one thing, though, I got to ask you, can you wash it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Very good question. So we work on the three things now. Number one, the durability. How long can you use this fabric? And the second one is that, can we wash it? How many times can we wash it? The third one is that, the performance. Can we make it much better than now?
Right.
All these things is just at the next phase of research. But to me, I think this opened a possibility for, you know, people's motion tracking robotics, you know, when you do the robotics and also artificial intelligence, all require this kind of as
Absolutely.
A motion sensors and yeah. power source. Yeah.
Dr. ZL Wang, it's so great to have you. Zhonglin Wang, he's a Regents Professor at Georgia Tech School of Materials Science and Engineering. And what a cool invention. I look forward to wearing a special suit in a few years.
That was so much better than CES.
It was.
So much better than CES.
And it solves a real problem.
I would actually wear that like tomorrow if I could.
Tomorrow.
I would buy pants
right.
and have it built in.
So our goal is that for health purposes, for security purposes, for human-machine interfacing, all this can be utilized because used as a power source, a few hubs energy, or it can, for body motion energy, body motion sensing.
Always, yeah.
Yeah, because robotics, you need motion. Simulate our skins, how hard it is, how soft it is. All this soft, this flexible electronics can be fixed to it for our next generation technology.
I can see it everywhere. Dr. Zhang, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. You know, it always puzzled me in movies like AI and even in Westworld, the androids always want to escape. And I always say, if you get out, where are you? How are you going to charge?
Yeah,
you're going to be, you're leaving, you take your charger with you. You're going to have to carry a suitcase. But no, now I understand. In the future,
but
they're going to charge just by walking around.
Even more so, this could be energy reclamation for certain devices.
Absolutely.
As a way to recycle energy back into the system, reduce overall draw.
Sure.
I mean, just imagine your jeans having this around like the knee area as you walk, and that'd be awesome.
Couldn't be any worse than corduroy.
Actually, it could be a lot. No, if it blows up. I mean, we just talked about Samsung.
It's not gonna blow up.
I don't know. Smartphones have gone, you know.
All right. What we want to do in a little bit is ask our staff what they're looking forward to, new technologies for the year 2017. Before we do that, though, a word from our sponsor. I'm loving them. I use them. And I encourage everybody, whenever they ask me, where should I register my domain name, I say Hover.
Indeed.
Right?
I should switch then.
Yes, you should switch. Actually, Steve Gibson, our security guy, was on the old, you know, everybody was on, was it VeriSign in the old days, or who was it that was the original? And he still was there, and he was getting really tired of the service. It wasn't VeriSign, but whoever the old hosting company was.
Well, it was 101 GoDaddy.
Yeah, but that's your younger, but I'm going back even farther. But another bad one, GoDaddy. Ugh. So Steve went out, and he went on Twitter. He said, what should I do? Who should I choose? And almost to a person, everybody said, gotta try Hover. And then he came to me and I said, well, Steve, you could have just asked me. I would have told you. I moved all my domains to Hover years ago. Hover is the easiest way to manage your domains. I'm changing DNS all the time and I can do it in a Hover in a click of a mouse. And it's easy to buy, which I really like. Look, there's Mark Fraunfelder, boingboing.com. He's a Hover customer. Who isn't? Hover has over 400 domain extensions, of course, .com, .net. But some great niche extensions. I have Laporte.report. Love that, right?
Laporte.report.
Isn't that great?
Is there anything on that website right
no,
now?
No, but I love it. I'll use it someday. I have a lot of sites that I don't
How
use.
How many domains did you move over to Hover?
Oh, like, dozens.
Confess.
Literally dozens.
That's
but also twit.tv, all of our real usable, you know, important domains. I don't want to ever have trouble with twit.tv, but that's on Hover too. .design, .tech, .pizza.
.pizza.
I think alex.pizza. Man, you should
Don't
have that.
Don't tempt me, Frodo.
Alex.ninja?
No, I'm not.
No?
I don't bend.
Alex.horse.
That's very appropriate.
They're all there.
I'm good equestrian.
Go and do a search. Once you find your domain, Hover Connect will set up your domain automatically with your website. Just a few clicks. They work with WordPress and all the main major websites. It was very easy. I'm on Squarespace. A couple of clicks of the mouse. Boom. I've got my domain pointing right to my website. It works with for email if you want. In fact, that's one of my recommendations to people. Don't use, you know, if you've been a Yahoo.com email forever, don't use that anymore. You create your own domain name and have it forwarded to whatever server you want to use. You want to change server, you don't have to tell your friends and family, I got a new email address. Register one right now at hover.com. And by the way, moving to Hover is easy. With volume discounts, the more domains you have in your account, the more of a discount you get automatically. And they help you move it over. It is the best and the best support team ever. With their no-hang-up policy, I love Hover. Find a perfect domain name for your idea. Go to hover.com. We've got a promo code, of course, NSS for new screensavers. If you use that on your first purchase, you'll get 10% off. So buy 100 names. Really save big. Promo code NSS at hover, hover.com. Longtime sponsor of all of our shows. And my domain register. I love them. Hover.com. Last episode, you may remember, we asked our staff about their favorite tech from last year, but it's a new year.
2017 is here.
We want to know what they're excited about for this year. Watch.
Are you looking forward for 2017?
I think what I'm most intrigued by moving into 2017 is probably this, like, growing proliferation of artificial intelligence. I'm really curious to know how that develops and how that progresses even more rapidly, and what that actually means to the general, you know, population as far as how they interact with technology going into 2017.
In 2017, I really want to replace my iPhone 6 Plus. I didn't replace it with the 7 because it really didn't get me. But the battery on this is dying fast. 40%, and now it will just shut off. So, iPhone 8, waiting for you.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what Microsoft does with the Xbox Scorpio. The PS4 Pro was really cool, so looking forward to that.
So, that was Megan did the segment on the Impossible Burger. Now it's like it's a hamburger that's made entirely from, like, soy products and all that. Well, I would like to be able to see, like, to go to Trader Joe's and just go and buy one from the store rather than having to go to a select restaurant that's in some obscure part of San Francisco or LA. So I'm looking forward to that.
I guess what I'm looking forward to most for 2017, I'm kind of excited about what Apple might do with the iPad Pro, because I've been hearing there might be some cool things happening there. And then ultimately, next fall, I'm hoping that the MacBook Pro, the new MacBook Pro for next year, will be more powerful and might be a better option than it is this year.
Self-driving cars, absolutely. Looking for forward to those. I'm also looking forward to more drones that deliver pizza and burritos and Diet Coke.
I'm probably looking forward to the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 because I really want to see if it's going to explode.
I'm very, very sad to see the upcoming demise of the 3.5mm headphone jack, because the rumor has it Samsung's going to get rid of this thing, so God help us all.
Electricity. The invention of electricity.
Being the only one left that's probably playing Pokemon Go, I'm looking forward to the new features like battling, probably. Hopefully I'm still playing by that point, and hopefully somebody else is there to battle.
You come back later and I tell you. Maybe.
Do you have an answer?
I don't.
No.
Your staff is so warm and cuddly.
I got to give them all credit. I was taking notes. It's Burke McQuinn, by the way, who's electricity. But Jason Howell, Patrick Delahanty, Anthony Nielsen, Lawrence Simmons, Josh Windisch, Megan Maroney. She wanted a self-driving cars, which is kind of funny because shortly after she recorded that, her car was forced off the road by a junk driver in Montana.
Are you serious?
Into a snowdrift. They didn't get hurt. But, boy, I bet she really wished that. Carol Cole, one of our great engineering staff, Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief, and Victor Bognot at the end there is an editor. That was great. Thank you guys for doing such a great job. Really fun. Let's do it. You want to do a call for help?
I do. This is going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
You want to know why?
I know why, because it's from Thousand Oaks. It's Tristan. Why is it going
to
be fun?
Well, I was going to point to the sweatshirt, but then there was an intro segment. But, like, the attire really sells this guy.
I like the batik, or is it tie-dye? It's tie-dye, isn't it?
It's tie-dye, yeah.
Man, welcome. How old are you, Tristan?
I'm 17.
Nice. I'm glad to see the younger generation appreciates the clothing of my youth.
That's not a good thing, though. Some things should stay in the past and die there.
Yeah. You know another thing I miss? I wish kids today would be carrying more handkerchiefs.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
What?
Me
You're
too.
Kidding.
I developed a company. I have an example right here.
Look at that. Wait a minute. Show me that. That is awesome. Is a handkerchief.
Are those mustaches?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are mustaches and top hats.
And is that velvet on the back? What's on the back there?
It's suede for cleaning your glasses and your phone.
Okay, where can I buy these? Because I was at first mocking you.
I know.
And now I love it.
Handkerchiefpro.com.
Handkerchiefpro.
It just went up for sale recently. Yeah.
Wait a minute. You did this yourself?
Yeah, me and my brother.
Holy cow.
Wait, how old's your brother?
My brother's 15.
Oh, okay, that's okay.
I am depressed now.
Yeah.
I am depressed. This is great. You guys, you deserve a lot of kudos for this.
Thank you.
$18 and they have
clever
patterns. Are you doing well?
We just went up for, like, we opened the website like a week ago, and we've had something like 15 to 20 sales, and we're just really getting the word out right now. So,
handkerchiefpro.com. Well, let me give you a big plug, and I'm going to go there and buy them. Now, how do you get them made?
Actually, we make them at my house. My grandma's teaching us how to sew and stuff like that, so that's where it's coming from.
So it's made in America, if you will.
Made in America by Americans.
American youths, even.
America. Yep.
So, man, I want to help you with this. I think this is brilliant. Who are you using for the e-commerce? How do you do the e-commerce?
I don't know what that means.
Oh. The selling. How do you take? Do you take credit? I mean, I see you take credit cards. So how did you do that?
We went through GoDaddy, and they set us up, and it was like PayPal, and then I think it's called Swift or Swipe or something like that.
Swipe, yeah.
And then that's how we do it.
You know what?
This is directly to us.
This is what makes America great. The fact that you could do this as a teenager, set up a website, you're making them yourselves. It was easy for you to get the tools to put this online. I just love this. Well, how can we help? Besides giving you a big plug.
So what we need help with is we're trying to like develop videos to kind of show off the product and show what we're really about and kind of tell a story of how me and my brother developed it. And personally, I don't know any like relatively inexpensive ways to create a video and edit it and stuff like that. So that's what I need help on.
All right. Do you have a camera?
I do have a camera, yeah.
Okay. What kind of computer do you have?
I have a MacBook Pro.
Oh, this is easy.
This is a lot easier.
You already have iMovie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, don't even, there's everything that you want to do to make a promotional video is available in iMovie, right? I mean,
it's a solid B+ for consumers. It's not pro grade, obviously, but I think you can really mess around
with it. Well, and once you sell 20,000 handkerchiefs, you can upgrade to Final Cut Pro, which is only $200, which is actually a great deal compared to Premiere or one of the other choices. And that will naturally kind of escalate from your iMovie experience to Final Cut Pro. But I have to tell you, it's got titles, it's got transitions, it's easy to edit, it's timeline editing, it'll do 4K. I can't think of anything you can't do that you would want to do in iMovie, and you've already got it. It's free, it's on your Mac. So I think this is a really good choice for you. You're lucky you have a Mac. It'd be a lot harder to do this on a Windows machine.
Yeah, Windows Movie Maker is not really workable, per se. Or at least it hasn't been for a couple of versions.
There are next level up with things like Sony Vegas or Adobe Premiere Elements, which is less expensive and easier to use than the full Premiere.
It's true.
That Premiere Elements is kind of the iMovie to Premiere. You know, iMovie is to Final Cut as Premiere Elements is to Premiere. But I just think you'd be great with what program is this you're showing here?
This is iMovie.
This is the new iMovie, so I'm a little unfamiliar with it because they really updated it.
What do you guys use here at Twit?
We use Premiere, but we use it on big, expensive Dell workstations, and you know they're using massive files, and it's different. It's a different situation entirely. You're going to make one video or two videos. You're going to hand make it just like you do your handkerchiefs.
Yeah,
I think iMovie's perfect.
Yeah, we knew it was available. I see it on my laptop and stuff. We just didn't know if that was, like, an easy way for us to do it without much experience in terms of
It's very easy. Now, you said you have a camera. What kind of camera do you have?
A Nikon something.
Okay, it shoots video, so it's a DSLR that shoots video. Get a tripod. Okay, handheld, you know, is tough to do well.
If you can do it, it's fantastic, but I can't, Leo can't, and you can't. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you get Alex Gumpel to come in, you can pull it off. But like,
it's hard to do really, really well, and you don't want to make your audience nauseous, especially if you're showing a product or showing people working. Get a tripod. They're not expensive. Lighting and audio are also more important sometimes than people think. As far as audio, you're not going to want the audio from that Nikon.
No.
I'm pretty sure almost all DSLRs have a mini jack for a microphone.
Okay.
So look on the side. If it has a mini jack, now you're golden because you get all different kinds of microphones. If you want the room sound, there's a company called Rode, R-O-D-E, that makes a microphone that fits on the hot shoe of your Nikon, plugs into that mini jack. It's called the Stereo Mic. It's for video cameras. And it gives you a great stereo room sound. If you want to have people talking, are you going to interview people?
We'll probably start interviewing people once we get the word out and more products sold,
Yeah, well, so initially the Rode, there it is, the video mic. That is fantastic and fairly inexpensive. And then when you get to interviewing people, you might end up getting a handheld mic or what we're using here, which are these little lapel mics. They're called lavaliers. But get them wired. Don't do wireless. You can plug it right into that camera. That camera is going to give you better video than any consumer camcorder. That's going to be really nice video than Nikon. So I think you're set. Now, as far as lighting goes, that's tricky. You can't go to the hardware store and just get, you know, the big light lamps that they have for work lamps and stuff. But this is what we recommend. IKEA makes these. This is a white, they call them China balls. It's white paper. You put a light bulb in there, and it gives you a nice, soft, diffused light. And it doesn't look like there's a bright point source. People won't be looking like this. But it'll light the workshop area. And you want to play with it. You don't want it to be brightly lit. But you want it to be so you can see it. But you want some atmosphere, too, right?
And I have a variant of that light in my apartment right now. And actually, it works out pretty well just for day-to-day use. So if you have a couple of these, they're not just going to be for video.
And they're cheap.
And they're super cheap and usable. So if you spill on them...
IKEA sells them. Everybody does. You could just search for China balls. And in fact, people like Alex Lindsay, video pros, use them like crazy.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, It's a softer, diffused light, which is generally what you want. Oh, this is great. Handkerchief Pro... .com. I promise you, after the show, I am going to go buy a bunch of... Lisa, aren't these great? I want to buy a bunch of these handkerchiefs. One side is suede, so you can clean your glasses. I really need that. The other side, you blow your nose in, or you give... And I'm just a little pro tip here, Tristan, to a damsel in distress. The ladies love it. If, you know, they're a little... Maybe they're watching a sad movie, and they're kind of crying. And you whip out a handkerchief. Man... No?
I don't think we say damsel in distress anymore, per se.
I'm an old man. I can say anything I want.
All right. We'll allow that.
Tristan, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations. You. What's your brother's name?
Cole.
Tristan and Cole, you guys are so impressive. Did you just buy a handkerchief?
Yep.
All right. We just sold you a handkerchief.
Thank
Robin,
you so much.
Who did our show opening, he's from Seattle, said, I love this. Which one did you get? Which pattern?
I got this one. Really cool with
I love the cool patterns.
And
it's so neat. I want to get the one with chili peppers on it. Very nice.
Oh, that one's fun. Yeah.
These are great.
And I'm assuming eventually we'll come like with a custom line where it'll be able to order them. It'll be a little more expensive, but it was pretty nice because not only do we make them at home, but compared to other companies that are selling handkerchiefs, they're like $25 or something like that. So we're able to keep our
18 price bucks is a good price. I think that's a very good price. Hey, it's great to talk to you, and congratulations to you.
Thank you so much for the help.
Tristan from Thousand Oaks, man, that guy, when you see that, whether it's handkerchiefs or something else, you know that that kid in 20 years
is going to have a lot more money than you and I combined.
It's going to be doing very
well. Like, I'm cool with that, but also he's got to lose the tie-dye, though.
I like the tie-dye.
I don't know about the tie-dye.
No, don't listen to that. Do not listen to Alex for fashion.
Yeah, when in doubt, don't listen to me just in general. It's not recommended.
Do I look like a kind of guy who might have a handkerchief in his pocket? If there are any damsels in distress around, are you going to go to him for a handkerchief or me?
If I'm in distress, though, do I still get a handkerchief?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll give you one.
A dude in distress.
A dude in distress as well. If you want us to That is awesome. What a great call. If you want us to answer your tech question, we'll do it. Next week, Nathan Olivares-Giles from The Wall Street Journal will be here. Here's how you ask.
Need tech help? The new screensavers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Hey, coming up in just a little bit, our mailbag, you and I will answer some questions.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
The audience. But first, Megan Monroe, who's that? Megan Maroney is here. She, you know, there was suddenly this explosion of Wi-Fi devices. Have you noticed that?
Yes, the little hubs, you mean.
The hubs and stuff. This one's not mesh, but it looks pretty cool. It's the Starry Station. Megan has her review.
Who among us does not want to blanket our home with Wi-Fi? We all do. We want to wrap ourselves in Wi-Fi and snuggle with it. Admit it, you do. But it always seems like there's never enough. I've tried expanders, extenders, and mesh networks, and so far nothing has stood up to the test. My 5-person home full of iPhones, laptops, iPads, Chromebooks, Apple TVs, and Amazon Echoes in every room. That's why I was excited to try the Starry Station, a Wi-Fi router with a touchscreen. First, let's get to setup. Now, I've never had an easier time setting up a router, and a lot of the ease of use of the Starry Station comes from the touchscreen. You no longer have to translate those secret messages of blinking lights or use a bunch of different devices to set up your network. Starry tells you what it's doing and walks you through the setup. In just a few minutes, I had set up a dual-band network and a separate 5 gigahertz network for my home with WPA2 encryption. Second, let's talk about what Starry shows you. The device displays your network performance in percentage terms. Now, I've been using Starry for about a month, and although I didn't do any official benchmarking, the speed of all of my devices seemed a little bit faster. However, even after reading through the manual, I'm still not quite sure what this percentage means exactly, and it does feel a little bit gimmicky. Starry also shows you each device that's connected to the network, plus all the devices that have previously connected to the network, and that's handy information to have. You want to know if someone's connecting to your network that you don't know. If you put the device in ambient mode, each device is pictured in a bubble, and then the size of the bubble corresponds to the amount of Wi-Fi that that particular device is using. Let's take a look at the hardware. You can attach one device with an Ethernet cable, but only one. There's also a speaker and a microphone, which means in the future, Starry Station might work as a voice-controlled home assistant, but it doesn't work like that right now. Now, if you're a parent struggling to manage your kids' devices, Starry has some controls that might interest you. Now, personally, I think the best kind of internet monitoring is sitting down and talking to your kids about what they're doing online, but it never hurts to have a little more control over their phones and tablets, especially as your kids are learning to use them. Now, Starry lets you block and filter content, which I find of limited use, but it also lets you disable Wi-Fi access for individual devices for certain times of the day. Now, you can set up regular rules for bedtime or homework time, or you can block devices on an as-needed basis. So you can turn off the Wi-Fi on little Johnny's iPhone when he forgets to put his laundry away for the 99th time, or you can turn off Wi-Fi on your own phone when you find yourself constantly checking Twitter instead of living your life. Now, you can control some aspects from the touch screen of the Starry Station, but if you want more control, you download the Starry app and you get lots of features in the app. The biggest con of the Starry Station is the price. At $290, Starry is not cheap, and it's missing features that you might find in similarly priced routers. There's only one extra port for wired devices, and it doesn't have a USB port for network storage, and it doesn't have the same advantages of mesh network devices. But if the whole process of setting up a wireless network seems daunting to you, and you want more control over your kids' access to the internet, you might want to give the Starry Station a try. I am Megan Maroney, and I host iOS Today every Monday, and I host Tech News Today with Jason Howell every Monday through Friday.
That was very cool. I kind of like that.
Do you like the triangle shape, though? I can't decide if I'm really sold on the pyramid-esque thing going on.
That's the new thing with all these routers. They want you to be able to put them in plain view instead of the ugly, you know, I have some of those, they look like upside-down spiders. But the Google Wi-Fi router, the Eero, all these routers are designed now to look because really they'll work better if you can put them out.
As opposed to behind the television, under the cushion.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, thank you, Megan. And she's back in town, right? She's going to do TNT. And she was on, I think, already on yesterday, right? Yeah. Time for our mailbag, Alex.
Best part of the show, in my view.
Alex Wilhelm is here. And so is our mailbag.
That sounds like email, just approaching you from behind.
Sneaking up on you. There's always something in here. Oh, look, my new handkerchief came already.
Oh, wow. That is some fast shipping.
That is not my new handkerchief, I hope.
What is that your new skirt?
Yeah. And if you need one, I'll get one for you. Are you a damsel in distress? Here's the... Here's the email. Now, I'm going to let you pick.
I will pick this one.
Okay, you have to answer the question if you pick it.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Go ahead, start.
What if I don't know, just at a point of order, if I don't know the answer, do I just make stuff up?
Yeah.
Okay, good, got it.
That's what I do.
That explains a lot, actually. All right, Happy New Year. Your suggestions for a user-friendly photo book service. I tried Shutterfly and had a very frustrating experience, both in downloading photos and manipulating the process and arranging the photos. Any good alternatives? Thank you.
Well, this is a million. From Joe. There are a million of them.
Okay.
So, have you ever done this? Made a book?
I have had friends that have done this. I haven't myself, but I've been included in pictures in ones I didn't make.
I kind of like this. And there are even now some that are just apps that you download.
Yeah.
I should see if I can find the... Because I did one that took all your Instagram pictures and kind of automatically made a little book that was really quite nice. Here's what I would say. There are certainly easier ways to do it than Shutterfly. Okay. Shutterfly is kind of old school technology. But... what you're really looking for is, I would submit, the best reproduction of the photo.
You mean the actual...
how it looks.
Yes.
Some of these printers are not as good as other ones. You're also looking, in my opinion, for good binding and a nice-looking form
factor. So you care about the aesthetics in the actual IRL application?
I do, although okay. I understand that some of the software is really ungainly, hard to use, and unpleasant.
Is that just laziness on their part, do you think?
I think in the case of Shutterfly, it's just old, right? That was one of the very first of these. In fact, I used that one for a long time.
When did you first use it? What year was that?
Oh, probably 10 years ago.
Exactly. So they probably haven't changed it too much since then.
Well, there's not much incentive for them.
10 years ago, Reagan was president, I think, so...
No. Are you nuts?
I was kidding, Leo. All right, officially, the generation gap is too big for jokes to pass across
Reagan.
Between us anymore.
Anyway, did you make it funny and I missed it?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to get my eye on you.
There are other options out there. There's also CleanApp, Pastebook, Peekaboo, Mixbook, Snapfish, and Apple. So there's a ton of
these. Oh, you did know the
there.
Answers to these.
Well,
if you're already using iPhoto, I would use iPhoto, Apple's Photos, rather, because that's got it built in. Lightroom, same thing. It has it built in. And both Apple and Adobe use very good printers, so you're going to get a great-looking book. But what you're seeing is, and you mentioned some of these, is there are a lot of apps out there now that you put on your phone that will just take pictures from your phone and make books out of them. Here's a couple that Megan had. This is from Clean.
CLEEN.
It's very easy to use. It made a soft cover book. That's the other thing I guess you should consider is the cost. This is for her trip to Washington she took with her boys in 2016, I think. And I think that the reproduction is pretty good on these. Some of these are full bleed. Now, that's something that some people really want, where it goes all the way to the edge of the paper. If you really want best quality and pretty good software, I would look at a company called Blurb, B-L-U-R-B. They make very high-quality photo books suitable for, selling, but they are a little more expensive. But their software is very easy to use. It's Adobe software, or you can get it on the App Store. And it really makes it possible to make, hardcover, gorgeous books if you wanted to, and magazines.
Would you recommend that people spend a little bit more here to get a better product or go for the cheaper option because it won't make that much of a difference?
It does make a difference, and it really depends on ease of use and price.
Okay.
So it's going to be a little harder to use, maybe, the higher-end product, and it's going to be pricier. So it just depends. I think there's need for both. Sometimes I just want my Instagram pictures printed out so I can put them, around and have a copy of them. But if I took a very special trip or a wedding and you wanted to make a really beautiful photo album, then it might be worth spending a little more time, a little more trouble, and a little bit more money to do this. This is the one that I'm going to show you right now. It's Pastebook. This is another one Megan had. Made a nice hardcover book. It can take your Facebook photos, your Instagram photos. That's the new thing, by the way, nowadays. I think the printing is pretty good. It's a little grainy, but it may be okay. This might be better for the more casual user. But I think they do a pretty good job. What you want is nice, thick paper. You want good, accurate color reproduction. You don't want a lot of grain, the screening that they're using. It's just very much like a photo book that you would buy in the a bookstore, you know, you could tell the difference between the two. Some use better printers than others, but these, both of these are very nice.
They both look quite nice in person. Although I do doubt that my Instagram feed would make a very good book.
Too many carbs in your Instagram.
No, just I don't think people have lives that are interesting enough on a regular basis to actually have cool enough Instagrams to like make a book. Like,
I made one and I loved it.
Oh, okay. Maybe your life is awesome.
And,
I don't know.
Well, it's personal. So I made one that was Leo and Lisa's year 2016. It was just our year. And it doesn't, if it's just the two of us, every one of those photos does have meaning to us, right? And in all of these programs, you can select the photo. In some, you can edit, crop, filter, most not. The simpler app programs, usually it's just picking is most of the work.
Just selecting as opposed to actually doing the layout.
Right,
sure.
Right. There are a lot of good ones out there. I think what we're going to do, this is Peekaboo. This is, I think, the one I use for Instagram. I think what we're going to do, Meg and I will get a bunch more for iOS today, and we'll give you, because you want to see them physically.
Yeah, their it's like calendars. Seeing televisions in person before you buy one.
It's very hard to know, and there's really no other way to know. So
Joe, if that's not enough of an answer, you can email us.
No.
And we'll have more.
We won't.
Just kidding.
That's all. Mark writes, we'll do one on iOS today. We'll have more. I love trying out products and services you guys recommend. Last one was Nova Launcher. That's a launcher I use on Android and love it. 99 cents during the holidays, by the way. And now he wants to know, what do you recommend for my email on my Android? I'm sure I don't get as much email as you do, but I love to hear your thoughts. I would start with the Google email app. So you don't use Android, right?
Yeah, I'm an iOS guy, so I feel like I'm a bit afield here. But are there good enough third-party clients on Android to differentiate by how much email you get?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. So the first thing to start with is every Android phone will come with a mail app from the phone manufacturer. Mm. Throw that out. And most of them will come with a Gmail app, which is pretty good. But I would take a look at Google's Inbox app,
yes,
which is a streamlined email app. And one of the things I really like about it is it will prepare an answer for you. It has canned answers based on the contents of the email, and it's using Google's artificial intelligence. It's really good.
So it scans my emails and then writes a response for me?
It writes a one-line response that is, in my experience, almost always right on. You may want to add more, but you often don't. So that's Inbox. That's from Google. I find that really, really good. Of course, it works only with Gmail. So if you're using an email server that is not Gmail, neither Gmail or Inbox will work with those. K9 is the one that most Android people have been using for the longest time. It's a power tool. But I certainly would recommend that. But I've got one I just found out about that I think might be worth paying attention to. It's from a company out of Switzerland. Actually, it's from Ytopia, but they have their servers in Switzerland.
Oh, my.
It's called Secure My Email, securemyemail.com. And it's on Mac, it's on Windows, it's on Android, and it's on iOS. On Mac and Windows, on the desktop, they actually have a modified version of Thunderbird, the open source email package.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that word in so long.
I know. And it has it with built-in PGP encryption.
Which stands for?
Automatic. Pretty good privacy.
There you go.
If you have an existing PGP key, you can import it. Or they can generate one for you. They do not store your key. They do not log any information about you. But they do run a kind of a specialized key server on their servers out of Switzerland that makes it easy for you to find other friends who are using any form of PGP or GPG.
Oh, so it does the work for you.
It does. It simplifies it. Now, I'm a big fan of GPG or GPGP. GPG is GNU
Privacy
Guard.
It's GPG, I believe.
GNU Privacy Guard is the open source version of the commercial PGP, but they both use the same protocol.
Okay.
And I strongly recommend it, but for most people, the there's a big hurdle in getting it set up and using it. And this new company, Secure My Email, I'm impressed. 30-day free, and then it's $1 a year, 99 cents a year.
Oh, that's incredibly cheap.
Yeah, and it will encrypt your email on Android. And that's actually a hard thing to do. Not a lot of the email packages will support PGP on Android. So I think this is a pretty cool thing. Just started using it myself. I'm impressed so far, but you might want to take a look at that. And nowadays, I think email privacy is becoming more and more the thing.
It should have been for a much longer period of time, but now we're catching up on the tech side, on the consumer end of it, that we should have been at 5 years ago.
No one should. When you send an email, it's a postcard.
Sure.
And no one should be able to read it. We now know the government does read it.
Yep.
And others may be reading it. And I think it's time to just say, I'm not up to anything nefarious, but I want privacy. And so I use PGP whenever I can. The problem is getting other people to use it.
I'm on Signal now, which
Signal's
is a
awesome.
Messaging app. Yeah, but I do use the native built-in iOS email application, and I feel very foolish because you said throw it away.
No, I was talking about Android.
Oh, but it only applies
on
to Android.
iOS, it's fine.
Oh,
on
mine.
iOS, it's fine. But he was asking about Android. Most of the Samsung, LG, the email clients at the companies that make the phones write are not as good. Apple's mail is very good.
It's surprisingly robust. I've always been fine with it.
Yeah.
Why do they make their own email applications? They're not going to do a very good job, these Samsungs and so forth.
That's a good question. I don't know. They do the same thing with calendars.
I know, and then
you end up with any Android phone of having two email programs, one from Google, one from your manufacturer, two calendars, one from Google, one from your manufacturer, two address books, one from Google, and one from... And it's just a waste. Samsung even puts an additional voice client on Samsung phones, the S Voice, which isn't as good as the Google Voice client. Why not just use the Google Voice client?
Do they want to have control over their own Android imprint?
It's also, I think, mostly it's a differentiator, right? Because Android phones are all pretty much the same.
Right, but it's differentiating to making them worse.
That's what I
mean,
think.
It's like, great,
I agree.
Here's our phone. It's horrible, but it's ours.
I agree. But it's different.
It is indeed.
I agree.
Different and lesser.
I agree. And I think that customers are saying the same thing. They want the pure Android experience. Did you abandon Android for any particular reason? Or?
I've always found iPhones to be very, very beautiful. And I'm going to carry it around constantly, so I just like them.
I think as a physical object?
It's fantastic.
Yeah. And you said you didn't buy the iPhone 7.
No, I get a new iPhone in June, May.
So you're going to wait for the next generation.
I might, but my iPhone 6 is kind of dying, ahead, so just, I may get jumped
just
over.
Go ahead.
I know, I just kind of want to steal
That's
it.
That's the one with the piano black. Mm.
It is quite nice. It's covered in your dead skin cells. So
well, that's why I bought myself a
if
handkerchief.
If only you had a handkerchief. Exactly, yeah. You're killing my segues, man.
Here, now take it.
Okay, now I'm good.
It's sterilized.
It's fine.
Sterilized for your enjoyment.
I don't think that counts
it
as sterilization.
It is. It's a fingerprint magnet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only negative.
That's why the space blade doesn't get the same kind of veneer of oils on the back of it.
Yeah. Mm. I'm actually not removing them with this.
Yeah, you're actually just pushing just them further them. Into the plastic.
Yeah. That's not plastic, my friend.
Oh, well.
That's some space age. Here, give me the other one. That's some space age.
That's not better at all.
No, I'm sterilizing it.
I didn't get my flu shot yet.
I'm sterilizing
it. Guys, this is not what I had in mind.
Oh, now how much would you pay?
If you want to be in the live studio audience here for the Twit Germ Factory, you can come down to the East Side Studios.
Yeah, tickets at twit.tv. That's
I'm
what Robin
draw
did. It's great to have
on
you.
This.
We love having a live audience. You can also watch us on the live stream or join
it
us
It now
in the
says
chat room.
Twit in my finger grease.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Here you go, Leo.
We're on every Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2300 UTC. If you want to watch live, and we make on-demand audio and video of all of our shows available after the fact on our website, twit.tv, and wherever you get podcasts. So make sure you subscribe. Alex, you're great.
I like the show.
Do we want to tell people where to find you?
For now, just Twitter. I'm just Alex on Twitter. Say hi.
He's got the best Twitter handle in the world, Alex.
It's
easy. It's easy.
Yeah.
And I hope we'll find you back here a lot more often.
Yeah, I think I'll be back in a couple weeks.
You're off to New Orleans, though. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Going for Mardi Gras?
I am not. I'm going to go read novels in the sun and not use Twitter for a while.
Read some Anne Rice, The Vampire Chronicles. Nothing like it. In New Orleans.
Are they set in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, heck.
Oh, the best.
All right.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time.
On the new Screensavers. Bye-bye.